When Paul wrote his letter to the Romans, he used a vivid illustration to make his point. Paul talked about our slavery to sin and the many ways we willfully choose bondage over liberty. The question is obvious. Why would we behave like a shackled prisoner when Christ has granted us complete freedom? Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Romans chapter 6. In this passage, we discover the tyrannical outcome of sinful choices and the freedom that Jesus offers when we walk hand in hand with Him. Chuck titled today's message, "Whose Slave Are You?"
Grace was never meant to free you to sin all you please. That's the whole point of the latter half of Romans chapter 6, where Paul says, "Since God's grace has set us free," verse 15, does that mean we just go right on sinning as we please? And he answers that with, "Of course not." That strong emotional answer, that is an amazing grace. That's abusing grace. And with that in mind, he then takes off with some explanation of what this is all about. Paul immediately begins with another question in verse 16. "Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey?" You can be a slave to a sinful lifestyle, which leads to a death-like existence. There's no satisfaction in it. It's like living death. It's a horrible way to live. Or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. And now he adds this, looking back to when we were lost. "Once," he says, "you were slaves of sin, but not now. Now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching which we have given you." Now you are free from that slavery to sin. Let me get specific. Let's say in your lost condition, you had a real anger problem, and you were on occasion known for your short temper, and you would lash out. You were enslaved to that way of life. But now, verse 18 states, you are free from that slavery. You don't have to choose that. Now, let me add, you can. Why would I say that? Well, verse 19, because of the weakness of your human nature. You see, understand this. Even though we come to the cross in absolute faith and trust in Christ, our old nature remains at work within us. Hate to disappoint you, but it's the same old nature you had when you were lost. And it loved being in charge of your life because you had no Holy Spirit power within you to fight it. You gave in. But now that you have the Spirit of God, you don't have to give in, but it's still there. If you had a temper before you were saved, chances are good you still have a temper, but it's under restraint. Grace may be amazing, but it doesn't erase an old nature. The old sin nature is there to strike whenever given the opportunity. You know when that is? When you choose. When you choose to let it go. It may be lust. It may be greed. Maybe selfishness. Or that anger I referred to. It may be a substance. Could be drugs. Could be a liquor. Strong drink. You kept it a secret as long as you could. You may have lost your job because of it, or lost friends or family, but there it was. It controlled you. Then you came to Christ. Well, hold on here. You don't suddenly lose the addiction. You gain a power you didn't have before Christ. So now you have the power to break the addiction, which you didn't have before. Now you care about that enough to do something about it. I'll come back to that in a moment. Go back to verse 19. I want to show you the contrast here, because he's going somewhere with this. Because of the weakness of your human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. Previously, this is when we were lost, previously you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness, please observe, which led ever deeper into sin. Stay with that. When you were lost, if you were mean-spirited, you could be really mean. When you got deeper into your meanness, you could be vicious. And your treatment of others could be brutal. Because after all, your lifestyle was impurity and lawlessness. That's the way it was previously. You had no power to stop it. That's the way you lived your life. You didn't like it necessarily, but you couldn't stop it. Look closely. It led ever deeper into sin, which brings me to a very good word we rarely use when we're convicted. I am responsible. I'm responsible for the actions I take. And you know, when I realize I am, when I do something about it. If I hurt someone, I seek a way to make things right. Not because I'm good. I've got this old nature that wants to hold a grudge. I want to blame them. But when the Spirit of God takes over and brings His self-control into my life, I want to make things right. Let me tell you something. If you have a list of people that you have hurt, and you know you have hurt them, you have wounded them, you gain nothing by going to your grave with that list. You make it right. Yes, I mean that. You take your time. You connect with that individual. You look that person in the eye, and you describe your regret, your genuine disappointment in yourself. Take full responsibility. Don't blame. You're not there to point a finger. You're there to describe your failure. You will begin a process of healing in your life. When you do what is right without tiring of it, God will honor that. You say, well, that's a pretty painful thing. I haven't used the word easy. In fact, I don't find easy in this passage as I look through here. No, it's not there. It's not there. Maybe it's here. No, it's not there either. So it isn't easy. Okay? Whoever said obedience was easy? It's right. When you follow Christ and you yoke up with Him, that yoking is easy. He'll be there with you. He'll walk with you through that process. You take your time. You build that relationship back. And you describe the specifics of what you did, because believe me, it isn't forgotten. It may be forgiven, but it's still hanging in the mind. When this man brought things to my attention, I remembered it clearly. Even though I'd forgiven him. But it all got washed out when he dealt with it. The old nature doesn't want to do that. You see how it's written? Previously, you let yourselves be slaves to impurity and lawlessness while you weren't about to ask anybody's forgiveness. You weren't about to humble yourself before anybody. Why? Because you're proud. When you're lost, you're proud. But when you come to the cross, you humble yourself. And you bow your knee. And you say to the Lord, you've got my whole heart. I have nothing to hide. You know me fully. Guide me in what I should do. So look at how it reads. Now you must give yourselves to be slaves to righteous living, so that you will become holy. You'll become a righteous individual. Not proud. That's not righteous. True humility is holy. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. That's what I describe. Let me encourage you with this. Don't try to get a lost person to clean up his life or her life. It's frustrating. They have no power to do it. They have no ability. They're obligated, the word is here. They need to come to Christ, and then Christ will help them clean their lives up. You come to Christ, you come like the song, just as I am without one plea, but that your blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am. Just as I am. So you come to Christ just as you are. And let me tell you, the person who is without Christ has nothing but himself or herself to bring to the Savior. Your good deeds are as filthy rags. So you come just as you are. Vernon McGee used to say, God has not put us on this earth to clean up the fish bowl. He sent us here to fish. Don't be cleaning up the fishbowl. Fish. You clean up the fish, it's amazing what it does to the bowl. It's remarkable how when people change, their homes change. Their work changes. Their mouth changes. Their thoughts change. Their attitudes change. Why? Because the Spirit of God is at work. And what is the result? The things you were ashamed of, you no longer do. Verse 22, now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. I love the now here. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal kind of life. This is what we do as Christians. Eternal life is not something way out there that we reach when we die. We enter into it when we believe in the Savior. We begin eternal kind of living right now. We begin that kind of life. And now he says the wages of sin is a death-like existence. That's what he means in 23. But the free gift of God, that's grace, is eternal kind of living through Jesus Christ, our Lord. How wonderful this is to be able to live like this. Spurgeon says this in verse 23. Here is a Christian proverb, a golden sentence of truth, worthy to be written across the sky. Here you have both the essence of the gospel and a statement of that misery from which the gospel delivers all those who believe. The gospel delivers us from the wages of sin. How grateful we are for that. Let me leave you with two thoughts, then I'm going to tell you a true story. Here's the first. It's possible to be free and yet choose to be enslaved. It is. You're ready for a shocker? You can be free in Christ and still addicted. You can. You know why? Because you're choosing to be addicted. You take responsibility for that addiction and you start doing things about it through the power of the Spirit, you'll be free of it. You couldn't do that when you were lost. But you can literally be free and yet live enslaved, enslaved to your tongue, to your attitude, to your evil responses, to your lack of forgiveness. Here's the other side of it, second point. It's possible to be enslaved and yet think you are free. Many a lost person thinks like that. Enslaved? Are you kidding? Man, I am living it up. I am free, man. I can go wherever I want, do whatever I want to do. And who cares? He who dies with the most toys wins. Remember seeing that on the license frame? Of course you have. No, you know what? That dear soul is enslaved. He just doesn't know it. Let me give you a thought. You can literally be free through the cross of Christ and then throw that to the winds and live like a slave. Here's the true story. I went to school with a real tough kid. He was tough in several sports. He never was pinned in any wrestling match. He was a champion wrestler. He played football, actually went both ways. Linebacker on defense, running back on offense. He was one tough motor scooter. He rode a Harley, God bless him, and he really lived a wild life. On one occasion, he had his boat down at Galveston Bay, and he was racing along under the moon at night, about 50 miles an hour, he told me later, and he hit a big wave, his boat flipped, and he went under and lost his boat, and he finally got to the jetties and grabbed hold of the rocks that were there, and you know they're covered with barnacles, and while the surf lifted and then receded and lifted, it literally raked across his belly and his shoulders and his arms, his legs, and he began to bleed profusely. He realized there were sharks in that warm water, and so of all things, this wild kid prayed. He did something really unusual. Oh God, if you'll rescue me, I'll believe in you. I'll even be a preacher, which to him was the ultimate sacrifice on earth. I'll even be a preacher. And he's raking up and down on these barnacles. You'll say a lot of things when you're bleeding to death. And wouldn't you know it, the Coast Guard show up, 10, 15 minutes, pick him up, and they look at him, and he is literally shredded. And they treated him, they got him help, and he, for a little while, remembered his words, and then he got to feeling better, and he was back at his old stuff. And then he realized in a quiet moment that he really did need to give his life to Christ. It wasn't long after that he was driving too fast in a double-lane underpass, and he hit the center concrete center, smashed his car, went through the windshield, and scarred his face up as if he wasn't bad enough with his body. And that did it. He went back to school, finished college, went to seminary, finished seminary, and he spent his life ultimately before a heart attack took him, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was himself a testimony to the grace of God. He said to me, Chuck, every time I would shower and towel off, I was reminded of my life that I had lived. He said, I had permanent scars that I'd look at in the mirror every time I toweled off following a shower. It was a mute reminder of the way no man should live his life. And I was running as fast as I could run, and finally the Lord got my attention. Well, I'm telling you, he had a clear message, and he was a faithful messenger of the gospel from that time on, once he saw the truth. You can make your commitment to Christ and drift. You move into carnality and you live as though you never had trusted in Christ. And I will tell you, the Lord takes it seriously whether you do or not. He has his way of bringing you back. And the work of divine discipline is a myriad of things the Lord can do to get our attention. Sometimes it happens behind bars. Sometimes it happens on a hospital bed. Sometimes it happens on the floor after a massive heart attack and you come back from it, but you were scared, realizing your lifestyle, whatever it takes. I heard this years ago, pain plants the flag of reality in the fortress of a rebel heart. You may be one of those rebels. I don't know. Remember what I said at the beginning? I can't tell slaves by looking. I can only tell by the way you live. If I was close enough to you, if I were close enough to you and we knew each other well enough, I would know if you're enslaved or not. But I can't tell here. Most can't tell by looking. We know that by living with others. Let's address the way you live in these next few moments. Will you bow with me, please? Just close your eyes where you're sitting. I pretty well covered the waterfront today with all possible situations. Wherever you find yourself, let me assure you of this. God is available. He hasn't stopped loving you any more than he stopped loving my friend years ago, who ran from him as fast as he could. He sets the hounds of heaven after us, and sometime they bark loudly. Today you may hear the bark. Today's the day for you to turn. If you've wandered far from the Lord, come back. Lay it out before him. Tell him you've been distant and you want to make it right. Ask him to guide you. Make it clear what you should do in your life. If you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus, oh my, what are you waiting for? What if you perish tonight? What if it's you on the floor tonight with that massive heart attack? What if you're in that head-on collision, but you don't live through it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him. You will be saved. Believe now. Our Father, I pray that you will guard against all who would rationalize and would try to run from this message, to put it out of their mind or put it off for another time. May they not rest until they find that perfect rest with you. Bring us, our Father, to submission before you. Stop us in our running. Stop us in our tracks. And hear us as we pray, come into my life, Lord Jesus. I trust in you now. It's in his name I ask this. And all God's people said, amen, amen.
And with Chuck Swindoll's closing prayer, we conclude a 3-day study in Romans chapter 6. He titled his message with the question, "Whose slave are you?" This is Insight for Living, and this message is just one portion of the larger seven-part series that Chuck has titled Living by Grace. It's brand new, and in fact, there's much more teaching ahead. To go deeper in your studies on this engaging series, or to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. As we embark on this journey together, I'll remind you that Chuck wrote a commentary on Paul's letter to the Romans. It's a resource that belongs in your personal collection. Chuck's commentary helps you understand the cultural context of Paul's letter, and he explains the implications for our times as well. To purchase Swindoll's Living Insights commentary on Romans, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/store. That's not all. Did you realize that Insight for Living releases a free devotional by email every single day? In this way, you can automatically receive a free devotional thought from Chuck, filling your mind with biblical wisdom to empower your walk with God. There's a fresh thought for every day. To subscribe to Chuck's daily devotional emails, go to insight.org/devotional. And then bear in mind, it's your voluntary donations that make it possible for us to provide these daily visits with Chuck and the many resources designed to strengthen your walk with God. If it's been a while since you've sent Insight for Living a gift, or maybe you've never reached out, let today be the day. By giving, you'll become the channel of blessing to someone who has never understood the amazing grace of God. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Or you can give a donation online at insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Why did Paul the Apostle refer to himself as a wretched man? Chuck Swindoll tells the full story next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Whose Slave Are You?, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.